I have a question for you.
I just thought of it. The question is, what is the sign of the Son of Man when he comes? Okay, we'll keep that in mind because I have another question that I'm going to answer right away. But the message is the second coming. And the question is, when will Yahshua return? And I want to mention, as the message is called the second coming and ask the questions, when will Yahshua return, that I will by no means be placing a date on his return. As I think we all realize, the reality of that day is only Yahweh knows. Matthew 24:36, and I do hope that you brought your scriptures because we may end up opening them up. Don't want to make it too easy for everyone. But Matthew 24:36, Young's literal translation, and concerning that day and the hour, no one hath known, not even the messengers of the heavens, except my Father alone. It's interesting, the last song that we're going to sing talks about they went up to pray that hour, or there's an hour. Let me see if I've got that up here. Yeah, it says in Acts 3:1-6 that they came to the temple at the hour of prayer. What is that? What is that hour of prayer? Elder John asked me that this morning. So I thought, well, let's just go with a bunch of questions today and we'll make a good day of it. But it came to mind that there were three times that they went for prayer. I think that's confirmed in Scripture. So this was one of those times, because when you refer back to it in Acts 3:1-6, where it's mentioned, it talks about the ninth hour, I believe. So it would have been one of those hours. Anyway, in Matthew 29:36, that day is not just speaking of Yahshua's return, but the end of the age and all that it encapsulates. Yahshua goes on to say that it will be as in the days of Noah. Everything is all right, at least for a little bit. And then all of a sudden the torrential rains came and the flooding of the earth destroyed the inhabitants. Now, historically, we have a record of mankind from Adam, genealogy, years that they lived from Adam. The following chart from Answers in Genesis gives us a timeline out to about 2400 BCE, with the years of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob ending the chart. Now, beyond this, we can count the years of the judges and the kings and the empires and other genealogies up to the time of Yahshua and the temple of the first century CE. But here on the chart, you can see Adam, Seth, Enosh, going down, Enoch, Lamech, Noah, Shem. We have the years that they lived, and you can use these to identify how far out, you know, it is to, for example, Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. But we think of, I should back up here, that from Yahshua in the temple in the first century, I think we have about 2,000 years to our current 21st century. In all, about 6,000 years, if you count everything up, when you go back to the kings and figure in the kings and the judges and the empires that have come and gone and the years involved for all of that. About 6,000 years. And we might think about the creation week lasting at least that long, but the word for day there in the creation week appears to be quite literal as a 24-hour day, since the evening and morning and that is mentioned for each day. But can we make sure that there wasn't any other great time in between this creation and the creation of Adam? Genesis 2:4-6, reading through the New American Standard Bible. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that Yahweh made earth and heaven. Now no shrub of the field was yet in the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprouted, for Yahweh Elohim had not sent rain upon the earth, and there was no man to cultivate the ground, but a mist used to rise from the earth and water the whole surface of the ground. Now here, right after creation, the shrubs and the plants haven't even had time to grow. Interesting, too, is that there is evidently used to be a canopy covering the earth, a mist kind of like what you would find in a terrarium. So the Earth's status would have been something like a terrarium. But then man was created and ruined everything. Actually, Satan did. But Revelation speaks of this in and also gives another time to consider. Revelation 20, 1 through 3. And some of you may be going, now wait a minute, David. You didn't touch upon Genesis 1 and 2 in there. It talks about, you know, the earth was not created void, and there seems to be a time period in there. Well, that's true. But I'm not going to go there today. Just wanted to bring that up, and I didn't forget about it. It's just, you know, we do, I think, see there's some interesting things to look at in the creation of time and these type of things. But we'll stick to some of these things and maybe go over those other things later. Revelation 20, 1 through 3. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loose for a little season. Some translations say a little while, others say a short time. Essentially, it's not very specific, but it's basically a time period. It's enough time to deceive some of those who were growing up during the, or that will grow up during the 1,000-year reign. And I had wondered, you know, well, how could they be deceived? Won't we be there teaching them, helping them? You know, if we overcome ourselves, being there as first fruits, as spirit beings, telling them what happened to us, telling them, you know, of how things are and everything, why would they turn against Yahweh? Well, there may be some that won't want to follow Yahweh, and that is defiant sin, and there is no forgiveness for that. So they are consumed in an instant, and, you know, after that, Satan and, you know, the rest are thrown into the lake of fire, and that's done. But their end is that they will be destroyed, and then Satan himself will be destroyed in the lake of fire. The point, though, is that there is 1,000 years in which there will be a righteous kingdom. It will be established. The king of it is Yahshua, who returns to this earth to establish it. But is that time close? When will Yahshua's second coming take place? Considering the numbers that we've looked at, we can get an idea of the time period we're possibly in. 2 Peter 3 and 3 through 8, NIV. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. Had someone call the other day and basically was scoffing, and I ended up having to end the conversation because it was not producing good fruit. And we can stay away from those things which are not producing good fruit. But it says, they will say, where is his coming? He promised. Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has been since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by Elohim's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water, by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. Interesting. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the unrighteous. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With Yahweh, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. It says the earth was formed out of water and by water. What does that mean? It's an interesting phrase and also, I think, very insightful. As when Noah's flood came, the account speaks of fissures of the deep opening up. In other words, there was water in the earth. And some scientists believe it was just under the surface, but breaking the surface could have certainly brought it out. And that, along with the rain for 40 days, would have flooded the earth. The original Pangaea, what's called the Pangaea, the land mass, you know, if you look at a globe, you'll see all the continents could, you know, they kind of look like puzzles that you could put together. Well, this landmass called Pangaea that the scientists have come up with seemed to have spread out, and it could have happened during Noah's flood, not millions and billions of years, as some say. So there's some different thoughts on that, but I just bring that out because it talks about these waters. I think it's there for a reason, for insight, to be able to understand. And as knowledge increases, I think we'll gain understanding. It says, I should get back to the question, what time period we're in. It's interesting that we hear about the scoffing today, scoffing in the last days. There are songs even that sing about the absent landlord and make light of a creationist or of a creator. And I heard this just the other day, flipping through the channels and heard it. But, they've actually put what the Apostle Peter prophesied, to music. So what time period are we in? I mean, we're getting calls. I turn on the radio, flip through the channels, I'm hearing this type of stuff. What time period are we in? But besides the music, these type of world viewpoints and attitudes of living life to the fullest, that is, living in debauchery and evil, exist in our own time and are becoming more prevalent, not less. Carrie and I were watching what should have been a seemingly harmless cartoon, and it made fun of a creator, the idea that there is a creator. It said something about, well, not even God nor his God could do this, quote unquote. Where's that coming from? It has to be the influence of Satan, who wants to deceive people. And of course, we read in Revelation that he deceives the whole world, and we were once there as well. But the closing of what Peter says is, with Yahweh, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. If we think of approximately 6,000 years having passed since creation, and 1,000 years coming of Yahweh's kingdom rule in righteousness, and related to the time of creation and the day of rest being the seventh day, could it be, or could we be looking at Yahshua's return in our lifetime? I think the possibility exists. Did that make sense, what I just said? Because I'm trying to read from my notes here. Sometimes it just doesn't come out right. But we could be looking at Yahshua's return in our lifetime because of, even the idea of seven describes completeness. And we see through the events after the 1,000-year millennial rule, because Satan is released at that time, that death and all that is put away, and then there's a new heaven and a new earth. And so there's a newness after that completion. So Daniel 12, verse 2, but you, Daniel, emphasis on El there, because Daniel means my El is judge in the scriptures, they point that out. But you, Daniel, hide the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall diligently search, and knowledge shall increase. So seal the book until the end. Is that book slowly being unrolled like a scroll to us today? Well, I think so. As we gain a deeper understanding and appreciation for events unfolding today. And of course, we see different events coming about. A whole change in the Middle East as far as leaders and such, that's pretty dramatic, I think. And then there's other things occurring, of course. I was just talking to John today about just saw on the news recently, this is, in America, the severest drought. Now, we knew that there's been some hot days. We've had like a month of 100-degree-plus weather. That's unusual. Carrie and I, since we moved here, had never experienced that here. But, we're talking a fairly short amount of time. But the news said that this is the most severe drought we've had in the States in 56 years. They said 56 years. So that's getting into a greater time period. But, with thousands of years, that's kind of a drop in the bucket. So we're not sure. But there are other signs and things occurring. I gotta find my place here. That's the problem with ad-libbing. I lose my spot in where I'm reading from. Along with unfolding events such as major realignment of powers, okay, I talked about that. Just prior to this verse in Daniel, it speaks of distress and trouble coming upon the world. And it is something that has to take place before the second coming. So going back to the original question, you know, when is Yahshua returning? When is he coming back? Well, we can't know the day, but I think we can kind of know the time period or the things that indicate his return. But because of the tribulation that's coming prior to his second coming, it's not necessarily something to look forward to, though we do look forward to a time when things will be corrected in this world, and a time when a new heaven and a new earth will be established, and a time when righteousness will prevail. Daniel 12, let's back up to verse 1. At that time shall also, time of tribulation, at that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. So we're protected. His people are protected. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But as that time, your people shall be delivered. Time period. Everyone whose name shall be that shall be found written in the book. At what time? The time of the end. Though specifically the verses prior to this speak of the king of the north and the king of the south and the events surrounding them and the man of sin, and makes you wonder some of the things that are going on in the Middle East if that isn't being set up at this time. But it mentions here in verse 1 that there will be safety for those found written in the book, as in the book of life. Some have attempted to promote the place of safety as being for all those around the world, but scriptures such as talking about the fleeing to the mountains are talking to Judah specifically in Israel, not us and other countries, I don't believe. But the place of safety, possibly in the area of Petra, is for Judah, not the rest of us. And specifically, Messianic Judah is the one who would know what the New Testament says. And they would be the one alerted to the fact that they need to head for the hills once they see the abomination of desolation set up on some altar. And we're assuming that there would be a temple. And there's discussion about whether that's going to be a physical temple, a tabernacle. Could it be just an altar? That's been mentioned as well. We have to kind of keep these things open because prophecy is not up for private interpretation. But tribulation overall might be 7 years, since it is a number with meaning of completion. But a closer look in certain passages could mean that only the so-called peace process would be 7 years, and the actual tribulation may only be 3.5 years. And we've talked about that among ourselves here. And certainly the day of Yahweh as titled is only that length, or possibly even less, because there's some evidence that could be even less than that, and that this other time period referred to otherwise. And I don't really want to get into that, but we have to leave open some possibilities that these things could be a little bit differently than what we've thought in the past. And certainly I could rewrite an article or two because of the better understanding that I think that we have, that I have in particular. But, you know, as we grow along or go along, we're growing and we're gaining understanding and knowledge and these type of things. But one striking little piece in the puzzle, I think, for a 3.5 year period is found in Revelation 9. And I'll just share it with you because it's something that caught my attention. Revelation 9, 1 through 6. Then the fifth angel sounded. This is among the trumpet blast. The fifth angel sounded the trumpet. And I saw a star from heaven which had fallen to the earth, and the key of the bottomless pit was given to him. He opened the bottomless pit, and smoke went out of the pit. And I'm sorry if you can't read this up on the monitor. It's a little tight, but this is why we can open up our scriptures and see what our translation even may say. But like the smoke of a great furnace, the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke came locusts upon the earth, and the power was given them, as the scorpions of the earth have power, and they were told not to hurt the grass of the field or any green thing or any tree, but only the men who do not have the seal of Elohim on their foreheads. Well, what's that? Well, you can turn over to Revelation 14 and get an idea. But, and they were not permitted to kill anyone, these things that came out, but to torment for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. And in those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, and death flees from them. Okay, what is significant about what we've just read? Well, there's a number of significant things. But as far as the piece of puzzle that goes into the time period of when, how long the tribulation is, what would we be looking for here? The mention of time. It says 5 months. This is the fifth seal. If we take 7 times 5, that's 35 months. Okay, that's roughly three years. 3 times 12. But it's not anywhere close to 7 years. And that's the point. I think it will be a merciful thing to not have the tribulation go beyond 3.5 years if this is the case. And we're told, for the elect's sake, that time period will be cut short. Otherwise, no one will remain alive. And why is tribulation coming? Isaiah 13:11, the first part there. I will punish the world for its evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. As the end of Ecclesiastes says, the whole duty of man is to obey Yahweh. And it seems like the majority of the world has forgotten this fact. Ezekiel 12:13-14, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Notice it's not for the whole duty of Israel, or the whole duty of Judah, or the whole duty of the holders of the law. Course, if you've got the law in your hand, which you find in the Bible, then you are responsible. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So does the idea of doing away with the law make any sense when Scripture tells us judgment is coming for those who break his law? The good news is that the good news will still be able to be preached before this time. It doesn't mean it won't be without trials, though. Speaking to the disciples, Yahshua says in Matthew 10 and verse 23, but whenever they persecute you in one city, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes. Interesting. The cities of Israel. How many would that be? It does say that the message of the kingdom will be preached to all the nations before Yahshua's return. So, when thinking about the cities of Israel, and that Israel has actually been dispersed throughout the nations, what are we talking about here? I think we may have a better grasp on what Yahshua is saying and what he had in mind, more than could be understood at that time, but we understand more now. Notice the following. In Matthew 24 and verse 34, truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. A note is highlighted in the New American Standard Bible that this word generation can also be defined as race. Could it be just as well have been said, Israel will not pass away, or that the tribe will not pass away? I suspect so. But in all of this, when Yahshua returns, it won't be done in a covert, secret way. There won't be any secret rapture, as has been taught. Let's go to Acts 1:9-11. Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, evidently angels, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Yahshua, who was taken up from you into heaven, will also come down in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. So simple and to the point, The same way he went is the same way he is coming back. And of course, there are a few more details we have when considering the rest of the scriptures. He'll be placing his feet on the Mount of Olives. He'll be coming back with glory and honor and a great trumpet blast. But again, he'll be coming from above. Revelation 1, 7 through 8. Behold, he is coming with the clouds. And I love the New American Standard Bible because it capitalizes those areas in which refer to the Tanakh, that bring forth prophecy. So, yeah, the Bible talks about Yahshua. The scriptures that they had talk about Yahshua and talk about the end times. It talks about his return, not only about his coming, but it talks about the second coming as well. And so when we talk to possibly someone from Judah who doesn't believe in the Messiah, we can bring up Isaiah 53 and other areas that talk about the Messiah and how that relates to what has already happened. And then talk about scriptures that talk about his second coming. Because even if they believe in a Messiah, they think he's coming for a first time, not a second time. But we know that he's coming is for a second time. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha or Aleph and the Omega, the Tau in Hebrew, says Yahweh Elohim, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And with all these witnesses and descriptions from Scripture, it's no surprise that we get the following description and also warning not to be deceived. Matthew 24, 26 through 27. So if they say to you, look, here he is. Look, he is in the desert. Do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms. Secret knowledge. Do not believe. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man, or the Son of Adam, be. One of the Messiah's titles. And of course, there's some of the other scriptures we talked about. Let's take a look at some of those. Zechariah 14. Talks about in verse 4, for example, in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in front of Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives will be split in its middle from the east to the west by a very large valley, so that half of the mountain will move towards the north and the other half towards the south. You know, there's been some question, you know, well, how is everyone going to go up to the Feast of Tabernacles? There won't be enough room. Well, things are going to be opened up so that there will be room. But we can still consider other things. It could be representatives that will be going up. But notice it says, even if the family of Egypt, over in verse 18, if the family of Egypt does not go up or enter, then no rain will fall on them. It will be the plague which Yahweh smites and the nations who do not go up. So everyone will be expected to honor Yahweh and to keep the law and to celebrate the Feast of Booths, it says here. There's been some question about Yahshua, you know, and thinking about the rapture and these type of things. It's brought out that, well, you know, we'll be up in heaven. We'll be taken away. We won't have to be in the tribulation. Well, there's a lot of scriptures about that. But notice in Zechariah 14:9, you know, of course, Yahshua, his very feet go on the ground. It says in Yahweh, verse 9 of Zechariah 14, it says, and Yahweh will be king over all the earth. In that day, Yahweh will be the only one, and his name the only one. But the point is, over all the earth. Where is the rulership going to be? Where is the king going to be? On the earth. Yeah, Jerusalem. We find in Revelation, let's go over there, Revelation, is it 6? 5:10, Revelation 5 and verse 10. One reason I'm doing this is I didn't have enough time to write all this stuff out. So we'll open up our Bibles and let this be a lesson to you in case you haven't been bringing your Bible. You have made them to be a kingdom of priests to our Elohim, and they will reign where? Upon the earth. So we're given insight. We're given help to understand Yahweh's word. And, nothing is up for really private interpretation. We have to take Scripture and consider what it says. Even the timing, verse 11 of Revelation, it says, I will grant authority to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days. Well, that's 42 months, 3.5 years, clothed in sackcloth. And, of course, Daniel clothed himself in sackcloth when he went before Yahweh and humbled himself. And I trust the people of Yahweh will be doing the same during such a terrible time of difficulty. But protection is offered, just not a necessarily a place of safety, as is sometimes mentioned. I've heard stories where, someone building a fortress out in the country, that's going to be the place of safety. The Bible doesn't recognize such interpretations. But going back to Matthew 24, 26 through 27. So if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines to the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Adam be. So out here in the Midwest, we sometimes see pretty remarkable lightning strikes, sometimes close, sometimes at a distance. But when you see it cross the sky, that is something that everyone is aware of. And that's what's being described here. Everyone's going to be aware of Yahshua coming back. It's not going to be something hidden. Another thing about Scripture, let's go over to Matthew 24 and let's answer this question about the sign. And we'll close with this. Matthew 24, 30 through 31. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. And then they're all going to heaven. That's not what it says. We've read that things are going to be established here on the earth. The kingdom is going to be established from Jerusalem. And the reign will be here, for the 1,000 years. But it says, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. Well, is that the lightning? Is it something else? It's been suggested that it's going to be a cross by some who have taken this maybe a bit too far. I think the reality is it's referring to Yahshua. The sign is the Son of Man coming in the sky. When he comes, people will recognize that it's him. The Messiahship, the Savior is being preached, and people have heard. All nations will understand when he returns who he is. He is the coming King of Kings, and everyone will know. The second coming of the Anointed One of Yahweh is at hand. But before this comes, tribulation like the world has never seen before will arrive, because it has refused to humble itself before the Almighty One of Israel. Let us not make that mistake, but be ready for his return and those things that are about to come upon you. Hallelujah.